This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. As we prepare for Easter, we observe a period of time known as Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter Sunday. On the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, which is March 2nd this year, ashes will be placed on the foreheads of the faithful in the sign of the cross to remind them of Christ's death, of the sorrow one should feel for his or her sins, and of the necessity of repenting. Lent is a special time of prayer and fasting as we reflect on the miracle of our redemption and salvation made possible not only through Christ's suffering on the cross, but also his resurrection. The Congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Inviting you to visit us this Lenten season at 1515 Eger Street, just above the high school here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, February 13th, 2022, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Bless us as we meet together, dear Lord, we pray. Bless the singing of your praise and the reading of your word. Speak to us. Encourage and forgive us. Be the focus of all that we are, for this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Our gracious and loving God, hear our hearts and prayers as we lift them before you on this Sunday morning. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Father, we realize that we are not perfect, that we all sin and fall short. We realize, Father, that we have bad habits and habits we shouldn't have, but you love us still. We make mistakes, we stumble along the way, and Father, you pick us up, you hold us and give us strength. Father, our faith doesn't lead us into perfection. It leads us, despite our imperfections, through your perfection. Father, you lead us and guide us if we but listen. You want us to have lives that are filled with love, grace, and mercy. You want us to know that you are with us each step of the way. And Father, there are many things that get in that way of that personal relationship with you. Father, sometimes we're just stubborn. We want our way. Forgive us for sort of having a Burger King mentality that we want it our way. For Father, our knowledge is limited, our experience is limited, and our resources are limited, but yours have no limits. Ours is temporary, but yours is eternal. So, Father, help us to realize our greatest resource, our greatest help, our greatest hope is in you. Father, forgive us our sins. We make mistakes and we stumble along the way. But we seek to do better with every day. We seek to leave some of that behind. But Father, we find in that the struggle. We pray for the one who would suffer from addiction, who is trying to turn things around, for the one who knows the deep and darkness of depression, who doesn't want to go there, but it seems life keeps steering them that way. For the one who has suffered loss, that they may be comforted in that loss and in the questions that may come with it. For the one that struggles with which direction to go, what to do, Father, we pray that you would give them guidance and peace. For Father, there are many things with which we struggle. Some are outwardly visible, some are inwardly seen, by you. But wherever we may be, Father, we just seek you in that place. And Father, we're reminded this morning that the church isn't a place filled with people of perfection, but a place filled with people who realize they need you and are far from perfect. And Father, as we come, we lift each other up. We lift requests of prayer before you, those you have heard spoken. We lift them written in our bulletin as people have called upon us to remember them in our times of prayer and devotion. But Father, there are still many other needs that are upon our hearts and in our lives that are private and only between us and you. But Father, we give air and room to those as well. We pray for our church and our community. We pray for your Spirit to be filled in this upcoming Bible study series. And Father, we pray that those you have called would be a part of it, and that they would know you in a deeper, more meaningful and personal way through it. And ultimately, God, we pray that your will be done, that you're glorified, and that change comes. So Father, as we pray for the church, we pray for other churches in our community. We pray for those who would lead, share, and just be a part of your word, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to you. Father, we pray for those who serve our nation. We pray for our military, emergency responders, and all of those who serve in our country in some way, sacrificing of their own time, gifts, and talents. Father, we pray for political leaders. We pray that they would be honest and true. Maybe that they would learn a scout law, an oath, that would lead them in their public service. Father, we pray for the leaders around the world. It seems we hear the drums of war beating places far away. But Father, we live in a world that isn't that big, and that things happen. And we pray for those who are protesting, Father, that you would be among them. And for those and the things against which they protest, may your will be done in it all. And Father, we pray now for those who are sick, suffering, shut-ins in their own homes, for their caregivers. And Father, we just pray that they would know your grace, your mercy, and your presence. And now we ask that you hear us as we join our hearts and our voice to pray as you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Today I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have died. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
of us like making things, building things, watching things kind of come from nothing to something. I like that. You know, it's amazing. Carrie is a really good cook, not so much me. I have about four items for my portfolio of cooking. She has more than that. But my problem with cooking is I don't know what goes with what. I don't know what spice will go with another spice that'll offset another spice. I don't know what you should use with the pork or the chicken. I think just fry it all and you're good. I'm from the South. I mean, you just fry it. You fry bananas, you just fry everything. Deep fry it if you can't get a skillet going. You know, that's just the way it is. So that's just kind of the way. But I like to build things. I like to see things come apart. But what I've learned is that if an ingredient is missing, it's not going to be as it should be. When you're building a house, if you don't spend time to put the footer in correctly, that house won't stand. If you are building whatever, if you're drawing a picture, if you're drawing a painting, it doesn't matter. If you leave something out, it won't be complete. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth, and as we've been talking, there was a problem with these folks in Corinth. They were more than rough on the edges. They were coming out of paganism. They believed in these deities of all kinds of deviants. They were quite the crew. Remember, Corinth means a place of crossing over. It was a narrow strip of land. Well, it's not really narrow, but in that day. And they would park ships on one side, unload them, take the cargo over and put it on another ship and send it on its way. It was a hotbed of cultural travel and intermixing and false religions. There was temples all over the place. You could find some god to worship everywhere you turn that would just suit whatever deviancy that you had or whatever weaknesses or whatever you wanted to find. It was there. And it's there that Paul founds a church. Now, here's the problem. How many of you are blank slates? But we're not, are we? We all bring to the table of life experiences, don't we? We all come from some place having experienced something, done something. How many of us have had good experiences in life, right? Yeah, everything's great, fine, and wonderful, right? No, you're lying. It ain't all fine and wonderful. How many of you have ever made mistakes? Said something you couldn't take back? Wanted to say something you wouldn't take back. Yeah, how many of you have been, you know, you're so blessed here. And I've told you this before. Very seldom have I had to sit through a traffic light change here. If I sat through one here, it's because you care for each other so much that before you move, the other car needs to completely clear the intersection. Why? You could get 19 cars through that light, not three. Yeah, you know, anyway. But how many of us, you know, we got our good, we got our bad, don't we? We bring in all of the things. We got our filters, too. You know, we got our filters. When somebody says something, how many of you have ever misunderstood somebody? How many of you have ever been misunderstood? Yeah, I mean, we got it, don't we? We got it going on. We got our faults, we got our fairs, we got our good days, we got our bad days. Folks, it ain't a good day for me until at least two cups of strong coffee. Don't catch me without it. It won't be fun for either of us. But they say coffee makes you nervous if you drink too much, but it's never bothered me. But we all bring our baggage, and that was the problem that Paul was running into in Corinth. All those people who had heard the message of Jesus, all those people were coming to church now. And Paul was trying to teach them. Paul was trying to teach He's trying to show them. He's trying to preach. He's trying to lead them, trying to guide them. But they were bringing in all of the culture, Greek culture, Hellenistic culture, Judaism. They were bringing all of that in, and they were trying to have church based on all of that stuff. But this was different than all that other stuff. It was different. And Paul was trying to say, you got to figure this out, folks. Number one, there are some things in our journey, in this life of disciples for Christ, that are necessary. As building a structure, cooking a meal, doing a painting, rebuilding a car engine, leave a part out of that and see how it goes for you. The worst nightmare I had when I ran an auto repair business was bolts left over. And then I found out Roger Reed, the guy that worked for me, he'd throw a few extras in the bucket just so that I'd have that panic. I fired him several times. I always hire him right back, you know. Get out of here. Get back in here. I need you. Kind of one of those things, you know. But Paul is right, and he said, there are some problems. You people don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Greeks didn't. The Hellenistics didn't. The Jews didn't. The Sadducees, at least. A lot of these people didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And Paul said, you got to get that out of your mind. And here's why. Christ, now if Christ, back in verse 12, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, now he's going to do six things here, so real quick. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ is not raised, then our preaching is in vain. It's all a lie. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. And our faith, those who have believed, is useless. If Christ isn't raised, and worse than that, we are then found to be liars. Misrepresenting, he says. It's kind of, you know. But it's liars. That's what it is. How many of you can base your life on a lie? A lie will sink you quicker than anything else. We used to say in the building industry that it had to be fair and true, meaning that it had to be level, straight, and fit correctly and true. That footer had to be on solid ground. If it ain't, it's not going to stay. You cannot build on a lie. You can't have a faith to live with based on a lie. Honesty and integrity are important. So Christ, if he isn't raised from the dead, then it's all a lie. And we are found to be misrepresenting or lying about God. Because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if that's true, and that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. There's no redemption, no salvation, no forgiveness, and no hope. True hope. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. Paul says, number one, preaching Christ would be useless if he wasn't raised from the dead. Preaching Christ and testifying of Christ would be useless, a waste of time. All who witnessed it, now I want you to let this soak in for a second. All who witnessed it, all who believed it, and all who preached it would be liars. No one would be redeemed. And all those who have finished their course in faith before us would just have went away. That would have been kind of like nothing. Their years would have been all they had. It would have been all over. And then Christians of all people in the world should be pitied, for we've believed in something that isn't there. But we know that Christ is raised. Paul then goes on to say, but Christ is raised, and we know that. We know that. How do we know that? It's a historical fact, number one. You can study it in history books. It happened. The Romans tried to explain it away because they didn't want to be guilty of having let somebody get in the tomb, but they didn't get in. Josephus records it in his History of the Antiquity of the Jews, how people had said they had saw this resurrected Jesus. We have apostles who saw him. We have over 500 witnesses in the day of his resurrection that saw him. And we have other proof that's other than somebody saying, I saw him. And that is, we have 12 disciples and 70 in total who were hiding in an upper room, scared to death somebody was going to find them. And because of their experience with the resurrected Jesus, they came out of that upper room. They testified of what they saw, speaking in foreign languages and boldly proclaiming Christ, and the everyone died because of what they did, save John. Anybody here want to die for a lie? No, me either. But you see, the resurrection of Christ is necessary. We're coming upon the season of Lent, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to start seeing the movies, Jesus was married, Jesus and Mary Magdalene. You're going to start seeing that stuff. They're going to put it on the TVs, PBS, and all those other places. They play that stuff, and they talk about all of this stuff, trying to tear it down. You see, the thing is, God foretold what would happen. Jesus filled what was foretold. And if you take out one thing, it all falls apart. The virgin birth, the life that was lived, the preaching and teaching, the miracles he did, his trial and his execution. He said on the cross, it is finished. But leave something out in those ingredients and it won't stand. It won't be complete. But by faith we know that it is as he says it is. For Christ was born, lived, died, and rose again because he did one more thing. Anybody know what it was? One more thing that gives you and I personal assurance that all of this is true. Say it out loud. Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus said, it's better for you that I go to the Father. For if I go to the Father, he will send to you the Holy Spirit. So he ascended. Witnesses there again, saw him go. And he sent the Holy Spirit. It's that nudging, that whisper, that voice that leads us and guides us. Noah's just exercising lungs, and I love it. You know, preachers get upset about kids making noise. If I can't preach over a kid making noise, I need to quit. And if my sound man can't turn me up, I'm going to fire him. I'm just kidding. Even if it is his great grandson. I want to tell you it's Tom's great grandson. Not saying that he's really old. I'm just kidding. Tom's going to get... Now he'll work with my sound, won't he? Here it comes. But we as Christians today know that within us the Spirit of God leads and guides and directs us. We know that sometimes something comes over us that says we should call somebody, we should visit somebody, that we shouldn't go there, we should go there. What do you think that is, Christians? That is God leading and guiding us. It is God moving within us. We can see God at work. How many of you saw a miracle this week? Well, you didn't look in the mirror. Honest and truly, did you not know that every day is a miracle given to you by God? How many of you have loved on your kids this week? A miracle of God. Sometimes it's a test. You ever tried to hug a stinky hockey player? Carrie brought Nicholas home from a hockey game last night, and it was so funny. She said, "That boy stinks." And he does. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You picked up a basketball player, a football player. Those sports kids, until they get hosed down, they smelly. And what is this with not wanting to clean your clothes? It's bad luck and stuff like that. I remember that when I played football and basketball in high school. We didn't change our jerseys for a whole season. That was rank. That was the worst thing ever. Those things would stand up in a corner. They were bad. You dreaded putting them on. Literally, you had to work them so you could get them on. And I told her, I said, "Do you know what's worse than a stinky hockey player in the cab of the truck? 15 on the bench beside you because you're working the penalty box and the trash can's in your penalty box where the referees are spitting their tobacco and it's sour." I said, "That's where," and she said, "Ooh." But it was pretty bad, she said. It's perspective. We have to work hard to leave all of the pieces in that give us our faith, a faith to live by, a faith to trust, a faith that knows that we aren't perfect, but loves us anyway. And a faith that we should realize others aren't perfect, that we could love them anyway. That we could reach out to those in need, not with judgment, but with compassion, love, and grace. And let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us in it. Let the Holy Spirit show us what He's calling us to do in our journey here among each other. You see, there is a life after death, and we all know that. Something in us stirs and tells us this isn't all there is. We all know that life isn't to be lived for the moment and just tossed away. I know that the people I have loved, some in my life, who have trusted in Christ, I'll get to see again one day. I have that hope. And I know that when I get done with this and life falls from my grasp, I'll be in His presence. I know that's true for me. I can feel that. It isn't some quirky thing. I've got a little bit of common sense because I feel it in my heart. For us today, Christ is risen. We're heading into Lent. We're going to celebrate at Easter. But remember, He's still risen today. And every day. And He fills us with His Spirit and gives us an everlasting hope in all that we do. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Pastor, I'm struggling with some stuff in my journey. I've got decisions to make and I'm uncertain about many things. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pray for me this week. I'd like to do that. Just slip your hand up and take it right back down. Don't leave it up. Amen. Pastor, I've got stuff that I'm unsure about in my journey. I've got some feelings that I just can't get rid of. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's frustration. Sometimes it's jealousy, envy. Pray for me that I can sort those out by God's grace. Slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Amen. Pastor, I'm praying for some needs in my life, and it just doesn't seem that God's moving on them. Pray for me that I'll have patience in my prayers. Slip your hand up. Amen. Father, You hear our hearts, You see our lives, and You love us anyway. Let us know that indeed Christ is risen. Father, let us realize that we bring our filters, we bring ourselves, we bring our backgrounds, and You seek to help us, grow us, and give us hope in our journey. May we be faithful in it as You call us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. May his countenance shine upon you, may his spirit fill you, and may his love renew you and fill you with renewed hope. Go in peace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.